1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and then Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Let us hear God's word. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And then reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, already this day you have provided what we need. But Heavenly Father, there is something that we need more than our daily bread. We need the bread of your word. And so we ask that now you would feed us, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of the word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. You remember when you were in junior high or high school and you had your PE teacher? Everybody would call him or her coach. Coach Smith. Coach Jones. Most of the time, you didn't even have to add a last name. It was just coach. And everybody knew who you were talking about. Well, when I was in seventh grade, I had a kind of a very unique PE teacher. We learned to do a lot of things that year. We learned about football and basketball and softball, but we also learned about golf and soccer and ping pong and first aid. We did a lot of things that your normal PE coach wouldn't do. But still, for me, it was quite different. And nobody else in the class understood until one day, instead of me saying, "Coach, show us how to do that," I said, "Dad, can you show us how to do that?" You could have heard a pin drop in that locker room. In an instant, everybody knew that this PE coach, Coach Hamer, was my dad. He wasn't just my PE coach. He just wasn't a teacher. He was my dad. He was my father. And so what was different then was that everybody knew that this coach had dedicated his entire life to my growth, my well-being, my education, my feeding, my nurturing, to sustain a high quality of life, not just for one of his students, but for one whom he called his son. He had given me his name. I was his child, his son. He was my father. Well, the opening preface to the Lord's Prayer is really radical words. Our Father, who art in heaven. The term Father, when it referred to God, was not a form of address that was used a whole lot in the Old Testament. God was not addressed with really any degree of intimacy. But in the New Testament, things changed. And if we could imagine sitting around listening to Jesus talk, and when he began to teach on prayer, and he said, "This is how you should pray, our Father who art in heaven." If we would have been sitting there, we would have all looked around like, what is this guy talking about? He is addressing God in an intimate way. He is referring to an intimate relationship with God, something that we are not used to. But what we do find in the Old Testament is that God, many times, when the Old Testament refers to God as Father, it's being used in the context of the Creator. That God created all things. He is the author of all things. He spoke and it came into being. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way: "O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the works of thy hand." In that particular passage, when the prophet calls God Father, he's referring to God as the Creator. God is good. God is compassionate as the Creator. He allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He allows the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. But in the Lord's Prayer, the term Father is not referring to God as Creator. Instead, it is an intimate term used in a way that people's attention would have been shocked. That here is Jesus talking about the three times holy God. The one who you cannot even look at, but must cover your eyes. Even the angels cannot look at him. They must cover their eyes. But it is this three times holy God that Jesus says, he is your Father. John puts it this way, he says, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What he's saying is that when we receive Christ and rest on Christ solely for our salvation, God the Father, becomes our Father. Paul in Ephesians put it this way, "In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus. Having believed, we have been marked with the Holy Spirit. It is because of the Holy Spirit in us that faith is produced." You know, you must have faith in Christ in order to be saved, but you need to understand that that faith does not originate from you. It originates from the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. The Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of Christ. And just as the human nature of Christ had faith in God's Word and trusted in God's Word perfectly every day, every moment, that same faith is being worked in you through the abiding of the Holy Spirit. And so when you come to believe in Christ and trust in Christ, it is a sign then that you have been adopted by God. You have been predestined by the triune God to become sons and daughters. By faith, we have union with Christ. and being united with Christ, we have been adopted as God's children. God the Father is the Father of Christ. Faith makes us Christ's brothers and sisters. Thus, God the Father becomes our Father. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, both the one who makes men holy, meaning God, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy, they're of the same family. You see, as Moses was adopted into the family of Pharaoh and then enjoyed all the benefits of Pharaoh, as Esther was adopted by Mordecai and then enjoyed all the benefits of being the daughter of Mordecai, so we have been adopted into the family of God, and all the blessings that have been given to Christ have also been bestowed upon you and I. Once again, listen to Paul as he writes to the Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. If it belongs to Christ, it now belongs to us because we are the children of God. Do you see the amazing goodness here of God? It pleased Him. It pleased the triune God to enter into a sweet relationship with you. God didn't need to do this. He wasn't lonely. From all eternity, God has been in fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has never been lonely. God's never been in need. But because the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was so great, they just couldn't keep it to themselves. So they predestined to have sons and daughters. Think about that, that it was God's good pleasure to enter into a relationship with you. It pleased God to reveal Himself to you. You see, God showed great power in creating us, but He has shown an even greater mercy in becoming our Father. Think about that. When we were His enemies, when our hearts were garrisons against Him, when we were dead in sins and trespasses, He conquered our hardened hearts that we may be brought into this relationship with Him. Oh, what a miracle of mercy that is. What manner of love is this? That we who were great sinners and great enemies of God should now be called the children of God. And that is what we are. We are the children of God. God is our Father. And He is the best Father because He is such a loving Father. The Apostle John simply writes, God is love. It's not simply that God loves, but that God is love. Love is not one of His attributes. It is what God is. He who causes others to love must first be full of love in himself. Think about the affections of a mother for a child. Where does that affection come from? It comes from the fact that the mother and the child are made in the image of God, and that God is love. You ever seen a big roaring fire? Yet, right down here, the fire's going, but right down here, there is a coal or some ashes that are glowing. Well, the ashes that are glowing, that's the love we have for one another. But the fire that makes the ashes glow, that's the love of God. That's why Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, says that God is the Father of mercies. That means that He is the source. He is the river of all good things. God's love is not some vague goodwill feeling. No. It is not like, you know, the godmother fairy dust. It may land on you and you may be able to fly, but if it doesn't land on you, you know, you can't fly. No. It's not like that. God's love is more like an arrow that is directed right towards you. You are the target of God's love. And when He shoots that arrow of love, it goes straight to you and it brings forth that which He has purposed. If someone were to adopt children and then treat them as second or not as important, we would think that that father was kind of cruel. But you know what the scriptures say about us being the adopted children of God? The scriptures say that God the Father loves us with the same amount of love, the same intensity that He loves God the Son. Let me say that again because I want you to understand it. God the Father loves God the Son. But He loves His adopted children just as much. Just as much. God, as our Father, is the best Father. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I've lost my dad, many of you have lost your fathers. But we will never lose our Heavenly Father. He will not die. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, what better Father could we ask for? Our Father is eternal. He is perfect. He is all wise. You know, sometimes an earthly parent may not know exactly what to do with their child. Not our Heavenly Father. He knows what to do every moment with us. If we are wayward, He knows how to discipline us and to bring us back into the fold. He knows everything about us. He's never taken by surprise. He's never taken off guard. He knows us intimately. He knows when to reward us. He knows when to discipline us. He knows when to bring affliction into our life. Therefore, when affliction does come to us, and it will, and it has, and it will again, when affliction comes to us, there is no need for us to despair because our loving Heavenly Father has designed that affliction just for you to bring the wayward sheep back to the fold. Oh, once again, think about Psalm 121 and think about the relationship of a child to a father. The child says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? You see, the psalmist is referring to Jerusalem and the temple where the presence of God was. Symbolically, God was there. It was the city on a hill. And what does the psalmist say? I'm looking to God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from my heavenly Father. He's not going to let my foot slip. He who watches over me will not slumber. The Lord watches over me. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. The sun will not harm me by day, nor the moon by night. My heavenly Father will keep me from all harm. He will watch over my life. My heavenly Father will watch over my coming and going, both now and forevermore. Oh, He is our heavenly Father, and He is the best Father. He's the best Father for riches. He is the best Father for riches. He has enough to give everyone abundantly. You know, if earthly fathers were always giving, there would come a time that they have nothing more to give. Our heavenly Father is always giving. But as He is always giving, He never has anything less. Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God also reforms us, as I've said before, when we take a bad course. Sometimes an earthly father doesn't know exactly what to do. But God always knows what to do. Therefore, I ask you this question. How can you know that God is your Father? How does the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God the Father, testify to your spirit that you are the children of the Most High God? Well, the Scriptures give us several indications. One is that we mourn for sin. Blessed are those who mourn. When the spirit of adoption comes upon us, we mourn for sin. You see, sin defaces the image of God. It turns beauty into deformity. It is spiritual vandalism. We have all seen the news clips of the statues being torn down and businesses being destroyed and vandalism everywhere. Sin is vandalism against the face of God. The prodigal son, when he came to his senses and he came to his father, he says, I am not worthy to be called thy son. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. See, he's mourning for sin. Mourning for sin is a sign. It is a fruit of adoption. It is a sign. It is a fruit that God is our Father. Now, a non-Christian may mourn for the bitter consequences of sin. Judas did that. But only a child of God will grieve because sin is against God. Psalm 51 that we read this morning, David says, You and you alone, Lord, have I sinned against. It is evident then that God is our Father, that He has elected us, that He has brought us into this relationship when we weep for sin. Another way that we can know that we are God's children is our attitude towards His presence. What is your attitude towards worship, prayer, Bible reading, fellowship of the saints? Do you love the church for whom Christ has died for? Do you call this day a delight? You remember when you were like 14 or 15 and you had that girlfriend or boyfriend at school?
You wanted your parents to get you there early, didn't you? You wanted to get there early so that you'd have time to talk to your girlfriend because you enjoyed her presence. Do you enjoy the presence of God in worship? Do you enjoy the presence of God as you read the Bible? Do you enjoy the presence of God in prayer? And then lastly, you can know if you're a child of God, if you desire to obey His commands. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When you love someone, you delight in doing those things that please them. Do you not? It's never a burden to you. How can it be a burden to please someone you love? The Apostle John says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. If you want to know if you're a child of God, ask your spouse, ask your children, ask your neighbor, ask your co-workers, because they look at your life. They know if you love obeying the commands of Christ. Many, many years ago, when I was first starting out as a pastor, a member of the congregation was dying of cancer. And it was an elderly lady, and I went to visit her. And she had heard by the grapevine that I had hurt my back. Well, as I went into her house and went back to her bedroom, she was bedridden, and we talked a little bit, and I read her some scripture, and I said to her, okay, I want to pray for you now. She goes, wait, before you pray for me, I want to pray for you. You know, I was really dumbfounded. I was just taken back. Here was a woman who could barely breathe. Barely breathe. Yet her concern was not whether she would take her next breath, but that she would be able to pray for her pastor. That's someone who loves Christ. That's someone who obeys the commands of Christ. It was easy to see that she was a child of God. It is only because we are in Christ, we are chosen in Christ, and that the Holy Spirit is in us, that we have the privilege of calling God our Father. If we could do our best to understand these first two words of the Lord's Prayer, I think our lives would really be changed. If we could truly understand what it means to have God as our Father, a lot of the other scriptures would come to light, because we would see it through the loving eyes of our Heavenly Father. Let us then endeavor by the grace of God to give praise and glory and honor to Christ, because it is He who has brought us into this intimate relationship with God the Father. And let us always remember that it is an unspeakable privilege. Even when we speak about it, we can't fully comprehend it. This privilege, this blessing to call God our Father. And then when we see the day approaching, the Lord's day, let us with anticipation, with a childlike heart, anticipate coming into His presence, coming into the presence of the one who loves us and will never leave us nor forsake us and will always do us good. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us in Christ. This unspeakable privilege of being your child that we cannot fully understand. It is so grand. It is so wonderful. It is beyond our comprehension. But Heavenly Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit illumining your word to us, that we would see and understand more and more your love to us, our relationship to you, and your relationship to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.